Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last 2 weeks of the show, if we can remember what happened 2 weeks ago. But it wasn't that memorable, but apparently the ratings, I just posted the ratings and nobody watched the week before anyway. But you can follow us daily on our blog at divaofdaysoflives.blogspot.com. You can sign up for the email newsletter there. Basically, just one, you know, get one email in the 24-hour period and has links to all the blog posts that were done that day. And if there weren't any blog posts, you don't get an email, so that's good. So that way you're not getting a bunch of spam, and you get to see what you missed if you're offline for the day. You can also follow me on Twitter. My name is Carrie. You can follow me at Diva of Dual. And we also have two Facebook pages. You can follow me, Diva Days, or our fan page, Diva Days of Our Lives. And all the links for all of our social media stuff is right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio, too, to be alerted to upcoming shows. And speaking of upcoming shows, on Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, we are interviewing Blake Barris, who played Nick Fallon on the show, and currently he's taping, and hopefully we'll be seeing him probably in August. So we're looking forward to that, because we're all impressed with Blake's acting. He's very impressive for his age. So get your questions ready for Blake. It's going to be a live call-in show, so make sure you're ready for that. And I don't want to forget to pimp at Bob Hapka. And Amy Hapka was not happy they killed off Stefano this week. So, yes, I told him, if you haven't heard, Joe Muscola and Stefano has already been being written back into the show. So don't worry too much about Stefano. He'll be alive and kicking again probably about in a few months. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back from November sweeps, but that's just my guess. So, so make sure you follow at Bob Hapka. And before I forget, we have two sickly co-hosts tonight. We have Marianne.
Still sick. Hello. And we're still trying to talk right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not drunk. We're just sick.
Right.
Yeah, and we have Miss Anna on tonight, too.
Hello. Cough, cough. Try not to do too much of the real coughing, but I apologize in advance.
Anna, do you want to talk about our interview with Valerie Wildman, who played Faye Walker this past week?
We had a great interview with her, I guess, was it about a little over a week ago? And she's just always delightful. The time just flew by. We talked for 2.5 hours, and she's just such a neat lady. We love her to death. But we had great times to call her, called in, talked to her, and she's really encouraging us to do a little project that I think we're going to try to do sometime here in the future. It should be fun. So stay tuned for that. We just really had a nice time. We came up with all kinds of scenarios for Faye to come back, Faye Walker, the character that she played. To come back, and so we had fun doing that, and several creative ideas came up, so, you know, from everybody, so we had a good time with that, and she's got a great project, Angels Among Us TV. You can go to angelsamongus.tv, I think. It's a great website that she's got, and she does this project. She does a lot of outreach to at-risk youth, both in L.A., and she goes to Mexico and other places around the world, and she's really encouraging people to send in videos of things that they've done, whether it's just neat things that they see on the street or experiences that they have, or share an angel moment with others, you just send a video into that website. It takes a little bit of time to get it up and run, you know, set up. But once you send it in, you know, they'll post it. It's just really neat. It's just he's really gathering a collection of really neat people, neat contributors, and neat stories. We all need uplifting things every once in a while, and it's just nice that somebody's focusing on that and focusing on the positive. Mm-hmm. And she's just making a lot of really amazing contributions, and she's really encouraging others to share. So we all encourage you guys to check that out. It's a really neat angelsamongus.tv. Anyways, we talked about that. We talked about some other things that she's doing, and it was just a delightful time. The time flew by. Val mm-hmm. is a great, great lady. I mean, she's just a neat, neat spirit, and we had a blast. So we definitely think that Abe needs to find real Faye locked up in the basement. Mm-hmm. Hopefully somebody's still, we're hoping somebody's still been feeding her while she's locked up down there. But we think that Faye needs to come back to help Nicole and to help Abe through their difficulties and, you know, give her a little love life, too. That would be fun. We'd love to see her and Abe together again and stuff. So, anyway, so we just had a great time. So, you know.
Yeah, she's a very impressive person. I mean, if you just read her IMDb file, you won't believe how much charity work she does. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. I can't think of anybody who's doing more work than she does. And so she has a nice site, and a lot of State of Our Lives fans contribute and send her photographs and stories and clips and everything. So it's a really cool site to check out. So what did you think of the interview, Marianne?
Oh, I enjoyed it. She's, she's just a delight. You know, she's all full of information, and she's so funny. She has you laughing all the time, and I was, she remembered us from our last interview, talking about the radio show that we should all do and get together. And she's so encouraging, and she really makes you want to do it. And she's, so that's something we still should look into. And she was just a good time. It always is with her. She is involved in a lot of different things, and the amazing stories that, you know, I had read some of them, and it's a really nice, like Anna was saying, it's a really good site, and everyone should go check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first time I've ever been interviewed by a guest, so I wasn't expecting that.
Well, we didn't even really need to be there, you know, or have questions. She's a wealth of information, basically, and stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's ready to host her own show.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
Oh, I would listen every week or however often she did it. I just think she's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think she has a lot of fans. I think she'd have a nice following if she wanted to do her own show. So, some people were wondering about the rumor I posted this week about which actor who was recently fired from Days of Our Lives, because I know people were, I think I'm a blunt person, and I try to use as little words as possible. I think I posted three sentences, and then somehow, and I thought, I thought I was being really extremely obvious. Because I didn't want to put the person's name on there. It's just for my own personal reasons. I didn't want to put his name on there. But, I have people guessing it's Kirsten Storms. And I'm like, how'd you get that from a recently fired actor being asked back to Days? I mean, how do you get Kirsten Storms? I'm just confused. But
wishful thinking.
People thought I was being extremely clever, because there's been Days actors fired from other shows recently, but I'm not that clever. I was referring to actors from Days that got fired from Days recently. So, but most people figured it out pretty quickly, and yes, I was talking about Matt Ashford. He was offered a contract, and I haven't heard anything new yet if he accepted the deal or not, or what exactly is going down. But last I heard, there was an offer on the table, and Matt's considering it. So, So that's the rumor right there. So I mean, I knew who it was all along. I wasn't, you know, toying with anybody. You just, I didn't want to put it on the blog because I didn't want Matt to have to deny it or, you know, or admit to it or anything. I just kind of wanted to leave his name off the blog. So, but I guess a lot of people, you know, figured it out. And there was no reading in between the lines. I thought it was pretty flipping obvious. I even said it's not Christy Clark. She's already coming back. And some people interpret that as saying Christy Clark's not coming back. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe English is not everybody's first language. I don't know. Maybe I'm really mysterious and I don't realize it. I thought it was pretty obvious. So, yes, it is Matthew. So we're hoping for the best. I hope he puts a no-kill clause in his contract and so we don't have to go through another Jack funeral. So, anyways, there you go, everybody. It is Matt Ashford. So, and if we hear anything new about Matt, I'll put it on the blog. So let's all hope for the best and hope if Matt comes back, the writing is much, much better because Jack and Jennifer got engaged this week off screen. So, I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, considering, I mean, you know, Matt's, what, 50 and Melissa's in her 40s. I mean, they're you know, even Tony Anna got an on-screen engagement. So, I mean, and then Justin Adrian, who was another super couple, they got engaged and married off screen. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jack and Jen get married off screen, too. So, I mean, the writing for Jack and Jennifer is just horrendous. And on top of that, too, that scene they were at the Horton Square, and then Jack gets this rumor that EJ's running for governor. And Jennifer's like, oh, go ahead and, you know, write the story and blah, 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 and don't worry about her anniversary. And then she looks disappointed. That's like, well, you told him to do it. What the hell? Did that bother anybody else that she told him to do it? And then she got mad? I mean, that's a typical woman thing to do, but, I mean, you know. I thought that was a bunch of crap. But, Anne, what you going to talk about are Kate Sains the past couple of weeks, and then I'm going to bring Angela on because she's on hold.
Let's see. The last couple of weeks. Well, we haven't had a whole lot of Kate and Anne the last couple of weeks. Let's see, this week we had Kate and Ian were working together at Titan, and Kate gets, Stefano delivers divorce papers to her at the office, and she doesn't want to look at them. She doesn't want to, quote-unquote, ruin the evening with Ian, and I guess they're working late or whatever. He said, well, do you mind if I read it? And so he reads the document, and it basically apparently is going to be that Stefano is trying to keep her from working at Titan because of a non-compete clause with the whole Countess W. Mad World. So there's that. So Kate gets pissed. She's pretty upset. And she takes off and decides she needs a walk or some air or something. And so we later see her confronting Stefano, and they really had a pretty quick exchange, but, of course, she's in the lineup for people who may have shot Stefano at the end of, you know, the Who Shot JR / Stefano story. So so she shows up, and she's like, she made a comment to Ian that she's going to fight fire with dynamite. So, yeah, that was a good line. So, so anyway, and of course we see Ian wandering around in the rainy, dark streets of Salem as well during all this yesterday. So so they're in the mix for this whodunit, and you know, I'd like to think that Kate wouldn't shoot him. So let's hope that that's not the case, but we know somebody does. So you know, there's that, and I'm trying to think the last. I think she was only. I didn't refresh my memory before the show tonight, but I think she was only on one day the week before last as well. So we went from 9 days in a row of Kate about a month ago, and like Kate having awesome screen time for the first 4 months of the year to into May, and then like nothing the last, hardly anything the last couple weeks. So, but I do hear that we have Monday and Tuesday, we have some Cayman scenes on both, Cayman scenes on both days, and we also have, for Cayman fans, there's some Cayman scenes as well on Monday. So Monday and Tuesday, at least, as far as I know for sure, she's on coming up. So we'll hope that ends up being, we hope we get to see them some more. Of course, I don't know if you want to talk about the Ian with all this, if you want to talk about the Ian announcement as well this week. Do you want to go there right now?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you want me to talk a little bit about the Ian news this week as well?
I forgot about the Ian news. Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so Days has let him go at the moment, and he should air through the end of August. So we still have lots of Kate and Ian, hopefully good stuff. So enjoy the summer. Because after that, I guess he'll be leaving town or gone or whatever. But we're really going to miss Ian. A lot of us have really gotten to know him pretty well on Twitter. And he's been a great sport. He's been a lot of fun. And, he's really a delight. He's a good sport, great sport. We've enjoyed seeing him on Days. And a lot of us are pretty sad about the fact that he's leaving. But we're hoping now at this point, since he's leaving Days, for those of you who either used to know him as Duke Lavery on General Hospital or just really became enamored with him on Days of Our Lives and want to follow him, we are really hoping that General Hospital will pick him up and bring him back as Duke Lavery. And there's actually General Hospital, some Duke and Anna fans from back from the 80s that are starting a campaign to do get Duke Lavery trending on June 6th. From 3 to 4 Eastern time, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on June 6th, tweet hashtag Duke Lavery as much as you can. And I know a lot of people will be at work or whatever, but if you can set that up ahead of time, then you can sneak and hit it once or twice at least while you're working maybe. We're trying to get that trending in the afternoon and just kind of call attention to him being available. I think a lot of people probably already know that, and I'm sure Fenella Hughes is already lobbying for it over there. I'm hoping that they're listening to her because it would be really nice to be able to see him on screen again. Our loss will hopefully be General Hospital's gain. And you never know. Who knows? Maybe he'll be able to come back today someday, too. But we're greedy. We want him both places. But anyway, so that was sad news this week. He is a great sport. We love him a lot. And a lot of us will follow him wherever he goes. So that's the sad news for this week as far as Days goes for a lot of fans. So.
Could you give Ian's Twitter handle out again if you want to follow Ian? Because he's hilarious. Everybody should follow him on Twitter.
Yes, Kilt Trip, since of course he's Scottish, Kilt Trip USA, KILTTRIP USA. He's a blast, and he's in London right now, seeing some friends and plays. You know, he flew to London on, I think, Friday. We had a fun tweet fest with him Thursday night. I think he flew out Friday, and then...
But he forgot to stop and pick me up, but whatever.
Darn it.
He promised. I don't know. I told him I was packed and ready to go.
I hope they didn't mess with his package the whole way. I hope he got home safely. No breakage or anything.
He should have worn a kilt through TSA.
Yes.
They can get a good feel that way.
He has three shoes. I don't know.
He's pretty well endowed from what we're hearing.
He even beats 11B. I don't know. We'll know.
but there was a lot of fun, naughty talk on Thursday night, as usual. So we had a great time. But anyway, he left for London, and then he's going to spend a certain amount of time in London, seeing friends, seeing some plays that they're in and such. And then he's off to Scotland to visit his family up north. And get some beach time in and all that good stuff. And his birthday is also June 16th. While we're pimping him, we might as well pimp him all the way. You know, if we're going to talk about his package, we might as well talk about his birthday. June 16th, mm-hmm. So be sure to mark your calendars and wish Kilt Trip USA a happy birthday on June 16th. All right, I think that covers my pimping for now.
SJ posted in the chat room that they're doing Matt Ashford Twitter bomb scheduled for Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I'm trying to find out if they're doing a hashtag or what exactly they're doing for Matt.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, because people have been scheduled. Yeah, there was an Eileen Davidson Twitter bomb, I think, on this past Friday.
I hope it bombed. Personally, I hope it bombed because I'm not really interested in any of her characters coming back, but that's my two cents.
Yeah, I'm really not interested in Eileen Davidson either. But I mean, I think it's nice that the fans are getting together and doing that for the actors.
Sure.
But, yeah. Let's
so
1
p.m. Eastern on Monday for Matt. Okay.
Yes. That's the Matt bomb, which makes sense because that's during days. Actually, General Hospital was trending on Friday at 3 p.m. Yeah, Sam had
that
a baby,
may be why that may be why they picked 3 p.m. Eastern for the Duke Lavery thing, too. I don't know, because General Hospital shown earlier in my market. But
yeah. Okay, I'm going pretty on Angela's poor girl. Has been waiting for a while. Well, is this Angela?
Yes, it is. How are you doing,
hey,
lady?
Hey, long time no see. How are you doing?
I know. I'm doing okay. I feel kind of like I'm in the communication time warp where I am right now. I'm trying to keep up at least a little bit, and that's the whole point. I'm thrilled about the Matt Ashford news. I did not realize that. I actually did get a chance to take a look at your site this week, and I, you know, being just kind of out of touch, I wasn't quite sure who it was. So I'm just thrilled to death. I hope that comes to fruition because, like I said, he's so good. And regardless of what they do, I hope there are no more death stories for him. That's ridiculous. Even if he's leaving, I hope that they don't write that. You know, it's just silly after how many times they've killed him off. So anyway, but I'm thrilled to death, and then I know SJ is, so
mm-hmm.
I'm excited. So I'm anxious to hear about whatever the hashtag deal is on Monday or whatever. So I'll try to participate in that. And the Ian Buchanan news, too. I'm just, he really is such a talented guy. And I remember right after they announced, I guess just that Gary Tomlin and Chris Weitzel and those guys were coming in. There was the regime change was announced. I noticed he had tweeted to Fanola something about that he was, you know, probably coming back, hopping over to their side of defense or side of the world or whatever. So I'm hoping that really is meaning that they're going to start talking to him about coming to GH because that the Duke Lavery character was such a good character and he wasn't, you know, I think that's one of the, it's, you know, it, I can't talk tonight. I'm just too excited talking to you guys. I can't even form words here. But, you know, a lot of his other characters, you know, including the one on Days, has been so dark. But, you know, but Duke, you know, was overall a pretty good character, you know, and a good guy. So I think that might be kind of fun for him, too, to play somebody a little bit lighter than he's played recently. So anyway, but I do think he's a class act. And I think Anna was right on with everything she said. But I think he was going to New York, though, so he may be waiting for Marianne in New York before he leaves to fly off to London.
Yeah, Marianne.
Maybe I have to get on a plane to New York, huh? Hmm.
I think so. I think you should tweet him because I think he's in New York waiting on you.
I'll have to do that. Hey, Ian, I heard you're in New York. Okay. I'll have to do that. he's been a lot of fun on Twitter, and actually he said to me, he said he's not going to, you know, even though he's leaving Days and that, he's still going to be on Twitter, you know, because of all of the girls, you know, having such a good time. So he's still going to continue to come on Twitter. So
he's a class act, and Days was very fortunate to have him. You know, I'll think about some of the actors and actresses that they have had who have come in in unfortunate times with regime changes and this, that, and the other. And, you know, obviously we've survived a bunch of them these last, you know, three decades. So anyway, I'm going to be cynical. But you know, we've had some difficult times. Yeah, because we've had Roscoe Bourne was on there as Trent Robbins. And, you know, that was not, you know, that turned out to not be a great story for him. He's a great actor. And so we were, you know, we were fortunate, I think, they've had him. But yet, you know, they just weren't, you know, just because the timing wasn't right and so forth, you know, that he really didn't get the writing he needed. And Louise Durrell, you know, this last trip that she's had on the show was just such a disappointment because she's such a fine actress. And I think Ian, you know, obviously is certainly in that class too. So I hope everything goes well for him, and we all get to see him on GH. I think that would probably be the ideal situation. So hopefully that works out. And I was going to ask you guys about you know, the Joe Mascola article in Soap Opera Digest this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been so much, you know, a lot of rumor about, you know, about his retirement and so forth, and I guess, I don't think I'll ever believe that the Phoenix has really died, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they have the funeral, show us, whatever, you know, you always kind of will hope, well, maybe he'll return because, you know, Stefano, and I can understand Joe not wanting to work full time, you know, especially, you know, with how it's been this last year or so. But I hope that they don't just truly, truly kill Stefano, but that in fact maybe that, you know, he will be able to come back. Of course, I'm still very hopeful about Teo coming back to the show. I don't know if anybody's heard anything else about that recently or not, but I'm still hopeful.
Still, you
mm-hmm.
know, write those letters.
Hell,
tweet.
Yeah. Haven't really heard anything about Teo. Joe Mascola got interviewed by Michael Fairman, and he said he's being written back into the show right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Very good. I'll have to do that. Yeah, maybe he can come back. Yeah, he doesn't have to be there every week. I mean, it's wonderful that he has been, and he's, you know, but he's the linchpin for the show. I mean, I just feel like, you know, I mean, even though, you know, Stefano is, of course, this dark character, but, you know, honestly, you know, even in the last 20 or 30 years, you know, he's been more of the linchpin almost than, you know, kind of Francis Reed was as Alice. You know, obviously, you know, a very different character. But I like what Joe had to say in that Soap Opera Digest. And I haven't seen the Michael Fairman article. I'll have to look for that next time. But I liked what he said, too, just about, you know, of course, he had good things to say about EJ, which, of course, you know, makes me happy, and the fact that he doesn't, and he also agrees that EJ does not need to have a different father, so let's hope that they reverse
right.
all that, too.
No, let's hope they correct that.
Oh, I hope, that is just atrocious that they do that and don't change, fix it. But he talked about the Stefano-Kate relationship and just,
mm-hmm.
And that was really, and just, you know, real fondly about that. And, you know, that was one of the big surprises, you know, and, I'm not a Dena Higley fan at all, but, which I know is an understatement. But, you know, I do think that really was under her regime when they, you know, all of a sudden put Stefano and Kate together in 2000, and I can't remember if it was 2009 or 2007, but, You know, it's hard to believe it's been 2 years since I went to L.A. for any of these fan events. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years. I'm anxious to hear if anyone's heard from anybody from Los Angeles this weekend. But mm-hmm. When I met Lauren, you know, one of the things I talked to her about was just that, you know, I was so surprised when they put Stefano and Kate together, and I really didn't know quite what to expect, you know, and she kind of laughed and said, well, you know, we really weren't sure either. But, you know, it was just wonderful. And again, it takes nothing away from her chemistry with Ian Buchanan or Josh mm-hmm. Taylor or anybody else that she works with. But I think that really humanized Stefano. And to me, that was a good thing. So I hope they do write him back in. And I hope that there's still some hope for Kate and Stefano and going forward on the show. Yeah. Well, the thing that the gripe that I had was after Tomlin left, I honestly think Tomlin was a big part of the reason State was what State was. But once he was gone, I noticed that as much as I've loved, you know, Ian, I was frustrated. I mean, I'm glad that he came in because, I mean, honestly, I was kind of frustrated because we State fans would wait, like, once a month would get a scene where they'd get a peck on the cheek or something like that.
Right.
It was getting really frustrating. So I was super excited for this triangle to emerge and everything and really, you know, really become kind of an umbrella story and everything. And, you know, it's frustrating when they end up putting the kibosh on something and you're like, oh, man, you know, that had the potential of being really... I mean, I've enjoyed it so far, but now we know with Ian leaving, we know that, you know. So, anyway, so that's my two cents as far as that goes.
Yeah, I kind of hope, and I don't know that this is going to happen either, because, again, I know that they've got to make the cast smaller and next to that, and, again, we'll say and do anything, because I really want Matt Ashford to stay on, because I think they need to have the strongest actors they possibly can have, especially if they're going to, you know, downsize. But they do need to downsize some of these folks. Like I said, I think even if it's telling fewer stories, but telling better stories with whoever is there with the best, you know, talent and, you know, the best writers that they can.
Is there anything wrong with rooting for the fake stalker to actually, like, take Gabby out? I'm just wondering. Is there anything wrong with that?
I think absolutely nothing wrong with it. I'll join that team.
A few other people.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, that might be bordering on obnoxious or insensitive, but I'm just wondering. It was just a thought I had. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out and see if I'm just way off base here.
And the guy's hot, too. Yeah, the stalker's hot. The one that Gabby hired.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
I keep thinking they're going to, I mean, I don't know if there's any spoilers, because sometimes certain things I don't really follow the spoilers on, but does anyone know, the only thing that would save this story, if you can even call it that, is if there actually ended up being a real stalker. That would be kind of cool, because then it'd be like the girl who cried wolf, and then nobody believes him, and she actually does get, you know, nabbed or something, you know. So that would be the only thing that would save it for me as far as this goes, because right now
I don't think there's any way to save it for me. I really don't. I think I just don't care enough now.
Maybe if Wes Ramsey came back, that could
now
maybe save
great.
It for me. You know, if he could, like, show up as a shirtless stalker and, like, stuff her in a morgue drawer like he did Stephanie, only then forget which drawer he put her in, I think I can actually get around the story.
Nothing against the actress. She's
really sweet. The girl is really sweet. She really is. But they're just, the writing for this story is just awful. So I'm just...
I agree with you. Like I said, I'm not saying anything negative about her. I just, the story is just, you know, it's just pitiful. And you know, I don't think there is anything to save it. But now, you know, Wes Ramsey, and you know, when this, you know, of course, it's, I don't know who I was talking to, but, you know, perspective is amazing with this show, especially because, you know, at the time when they had Stephanie, you know, in the morgue and, you know, I can't think of what the Wes Ramsey character's name was, but, you know, he was talking to EJ and, you know, he had his disposable phone and all that kind of stuff. And I was just thinking, this is just so bad. But now, looking back on it, it was fabulous. <You know? laughs> So I guess it's all within perspective. But I agree with you, Anna, completely. Has anybody heard much about the event? Like, they had the Brady, the Peter Beckle, Kristen Alfonso event last night. I haven't heard very much at all about how that went.
I just heard a bunch of actors were there. There was a ton of actors. I think Suzanne Rogers was there. I can't remember who else. I think Sabina put it all on there, who was there.
Okay.
The little girl playing Sierra was there. Kate Mancy, I think, was there. Yeah, I'll go look up her tweets and see who all was. Oh, by the way, the hashtag for Matt Ashford Twitter bomb on Monday is hashtag rehire Matt. So, okay. There you go. I'll make sure I got that out there.
I'll go look up and see who Sabina said.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it was trending. So it's always Yeah, I remember when we did that one for Bone for Angry Days year. That was huge. And it did trend. It was like, I have it on my wallpaper on Twitter. It was third at that time. So, yeah, sort of slow. I'm trying to get Sabina's stuff up. But it's only they had a pretty nice amount of actors at the Ready Soiree yesterday. And Sabina tweeted that she was on her way to the karaoke event with Patrick Muldoon, Christy Clark, Eric Bartzoff, Galen Gehring, and I'm probably missing a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like that'd be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm glad that they're kind of varying some of the events. Cause, you know, I think they were all formatted the same way there for a while. So I think that's nice that they're doing, you know, kind of some different things at different events. So that makes
yeah.
it more fun for the folks that are out there and able to go to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope somebody had said that Jason Cook, but I had tweeted with Nikita, I can't think of her handle right now off of Twitter, but
TLC Love or something, or Love.
Yeah, you're right. And
something like that.
It's been a couple of weeks ago now, but she was talking about the potential, because I was bringing up something about Jason Cook, because I just would love for them to bring Original Shell back on the show, or at least bring Sean D back, but I really want it to be Jason, if anybody comes back, because to me, he is really Sean, so, and I know I saw him, like I said, 2 years ago with the Frances Reed thing, and, you know, he spoke so well of her and of his time on Days, and I think he's just a nice guy. So, and like I said, I think that would be a good thing. I think it would take some of the sting out if, which I hope this doesn't happen, but it does sound like Peter Reckle may be really leaving. I don't know if anyone's heard any more about that. Again, I'm kind of in a time warp, so I apologize. I don't have any up to date information at all. I'm just kind of going by that. But if they can't reach an agreement, because I guess his contract is up in July, it would be good, to have Sean and Bill come back. And they're a little bit younger too, and all that. Not that it's not good to have older people on the show, because it absolutely is. And I don't consider Peter Reckler to be an older person. I grew up loving Hope and Mo. So, but
okay, I'm on Sabina's Twitter page. It's Kelly Moneymaker was there. Peter's wife, obviously Peter, Kate Mancy, Christian Alfonso, Casey Dietrich was there, Suzanne Rogers, and Stan Fine. Jim Reynolds was there, so that was cool, too. That was a nice surprise.
Who? Who was?
James Reynolds.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's all I saw on her Twitter, but she thanked everybody, but she met them. So she tweeted to them and thanked them all. So
that was
pretty cool.
Lodge, right?
I'm sorry?
They had that one at the Sportsman's Lodge.
Yeah, I don't know where they had it at.
I think they did. Yeah, they renovated that place. General Hospital events, I think, a lot are held over there a good bit. I think that's where it was. So it's a relatively new facility since they've redone it. So they're supposed to be pretty nice. So that's really good. That was nice for Nina to give all that information, too. I'm glad. I know she was excited about going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much. She had a good time.
What as far as the story goes right now, I guess, how does everybody feel about, where things are going, like with Nicole, for example? I don't know if y'all have
about
that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the Dr. Dan thing. Where'd that come from?
He kissed her twice, and both times he's like, I don't know what just happened. I'm like, you perv, you just kissed your patient, you freak.
Again.
I don't know what just happened.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, and
then he has the gall to, I don't know what just happened.
I did notice Nicole with. I mean,
I did
what about
notice
Brady?
The case that Dr. Dan changed his necklace, though. He's got a different, like, ornament thingy on it instead of the other one that he had forever. So I don't know what that means, but I just thought
new
I
new necklace,
like,
new woman. There you go.
I don't know. New patient, new woman. Jeez.
Speaking of Nicole, did you see her, Ari tweeting about the,
yes.
Austin, the asshole and Nicole?
I thought okay. It shocked me. It really shocked me that I, because, you know, that was the last person on her. Of course, I want Brady. And, they, you know, there's so much talk now, too, about them doing a rehire for, or recast, rather, for Eric.
Eric.
And, you know, would love to see Nicole and Eric and Brady be in a triangle. That would be, I think, great. But, I was surprised to see the thing about Austin and Dan Cole. I don't know how they call it, how they pronounce it. But, yeah, that was a shocker.
Yeah.
It was hilarious because we were kind of making fun of that on Twitter a while ago. As we interviewed Pat in January. Said,
oh, yeah, they were making fun of the pairing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like you kind of have scenes with Nicole because Nicole used to be in love with Austin. Were you aware of that? And he said, yeah. Ari filled him in that Nicole used to have feelings for Austin. And then I remember interviewing Sean Christian, and it's like, oh, everybody thinks Daniel and Nicole are going to hook up. And he was kind of hem and hawing about it, and that's when I came up with Nicole on Twitter. And then... we finally got the Austin Nicole scene without Race being there, and that was, of course, an asshole. So it depends if you like a dickhole or if you like an asshole.
Not either one is good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's stick with brickhole, I guess. You know.
Yeah, I think
yes,
so
brickhole. Yes. Yeah.
I hope that they just Eric Marts off. Like I said, I just think he's been so unused. That would be so good for them to finally do something with them. I was, you know, held on to that little scene that they did a couple of weeks ago, and I was just so happy that they had some scene with the two of them in there. But I don't know. It's gonna be it would be interesting to see Austin, I guess, and Nicole, because, you know, that was always Austin Peck was playing Austin, and I think there was a really different take on the character. You know, to me, when Austin Peck was there versus Patrick, you know, I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I think there were good points to both. I do think even with Patrick, I mean, this isn't his fault, but I just feel like this whole forensic accounting thing was just not a good idea. It's hard to make that.
It was a terrible plot device to break up Austin and Carrie. And I remember when interviewed Patrick, back, I think it was October, November, just had that little 10-minute interview that they set up. I said, do you think he lost his edge? He's a forensic accountant. And he really didn't say it then, but after he got, you know, after he worked out, he got fired, and he said, he finally said, that was dumb.
Well, he had a good point, too. I think this was made the interview that y'all have had, one that I've heard from him recently, where he was saying, he wasn't heroic.
Right.
To be, and that he was just, he was scrapbooking or whatever. I forgot what the term was that he was saying. And so I think, and I think that's true. I think that's, he was a boxer and all these different things that they just completely ignored, and which was kind of unusual for what Mardar did overall, because, they seemed, that was one good thing they did, is they seemed to most of the time, really bring back some history. Or at least some references to history, but with Austin, they really didn't. But I don't know if it was because it was just lost, because that was part of an era that maybe when they weren't there, I don't know. And who knows why they did what they did. But I think I did see where Patrick Muldoon, I think, is going to be at the DCE event in Boston this fall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. And Brian DiTillo is going to be there too, which is fine.
And Lauren and Eric Martzoff and Sean Christian, as far as I know, that's five. And I'm hoping to go, so we'll get a lot of data information from that event if I go. So,
yeah.
Oh, shoot. I forgot what I was saying about Patrick. Oh, crap. What I don't want to show about Mardar was that Patrick and Austin and Billy were discussing his history all the time about the boxer thing, and Billy was telling Diego, oh yeah, Austin was a boxer and a musician and blah blah blah. And I believe all of Austin and Carrie's stuff, their entire history is on YouTube. So It's not like they couldn't go and look it up. And you know, it's not like it was a mystery. So that's what I understand. They kept talking about Austin, but then they would turn around and write him out of character, so that didn't make any sense to me. But we just lost a caller. Angie, if you're listening, please call back in. Yep. And I'll put you back on the show. It just got dropped. So that's what just drove me nuts. It's just, we didn't talk about it, but it's on my list. Austin and Carrie are having a baby, but of course it's all about race. And it just makes me want to puke. You know, I've been following Austin and Carrie since day one. You know, I always loved that couple. And I always loved Austin. Actually, I loved Austin more than Carrie. And the whole thing's not about Austin being a father, which in those days were cute when we found out from Carrie was pregnant. That was so super cute. And Carrie's like, she doesn't care if she's pregnant or not. And then but the whole thing's about race and how race can't have Carrie now. It's like, you know, Austin and Carrie can't have one scene. I mean, I'm surprised rape wasn't at the conception. He was there for everything else. And, you know, Austin needs to keep Carrie away from the pub, for one thing. But it just, all their scenes about the baby all have to do with race. And he's, like, literally right there in the room with them. I mean, it's just awkward and it's weird and it's super annoying. And I hope this changes, and then, you know, I hope Brace and Carrie now, you know, officially break up and end it, and I think Carrie can enjoy her pregnancy, however long that's going to last, if that's going to last at all. It just makes me sick. I'm tired of Rafe going after all these pregnant women. It's really bizarre and not normal. I just don't get it. It just, I'm just at a loss.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Okay, I don't think I got dropped. I don't know. I think it must have been somebody else. It just baffles me. And again, Eric Martzoff is such a good actor. Brady has such a history on the show. We have a real backstory and a history, versus we really never have had that for Ray. But yet, you know, we're constantly seeing Ray. And the only thing that they've even used Eric for are these disgusting love scenes. And, you know, and again, it's not that he's disgusting. It's not that Sarah Brown is disgusting, because, again, she's a fine actress. Again, it was a misuse, again, of some real talent and just not really, and again, maybe everybody's hands were tied. Who knows? I think Anna's brought up the point before. What would be an interesting book is, who really wrote what, or who squelched what, because we're never going to really know at this point. But I just don't get it. I seriously do not get it. I know Galen's got fans, and I respect them, it's just like he's the interloper everywhere, and, you know, and that's not good for his character either, because, again, you know, he's just kind of always there in the midst of something as a spoiler. I don't know. It's kind of an odd way to have written the character after all this time.
Well, Brace and Carrie, they're writing them as a love story, and really, it's just an affair. That's all it is.
What?
I mean, they're not in love.
How are they in love?
Yeah, they've never been on a single date. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. It is just an affair. Usually when people, you know, come back to their senses, they kind of realize, oh, wait, there was nothing there to begin with. That's usually the reason why affairs don't lead to happy marriages, because usually, you know, one of them cheats again and there's a divorce. So, I mean, yeah, you never marry your mistress. You never marry the other man, because they're going to get cheated on.
Well, don't you think that whole Safe House story, you know, again, before they even did the Safe House story, you know, I read months ahead that that's what they were going to do, and I kept thinking, I just don't get it. I'm just, yeah, mm-hmm. everyone kept saying, you know, that people are going to think they're dead, but they're not dead, and this, that, and the other, and all this kind of stuff. And I kept thinking, I just don't get it. And then when it aired, then I was still going, I just don't get it. and then especially with Carrie and Rafe, and it just, you know, googly eyes, and I love you, and we're just, you know, star-crossed lovers. And there, you know, and there's Marlena, you know, and John in the same room, and they're both married to different people. Yeah, it was just bizarre. I don't know. I just didn't get it. But like I said, I'm anxious to see. I guess when do they think that the new material will air?
I think it was the way Carrie put the ice cubes down her chest that time. I think that's what did it for him.
True love. Yeah, that's another highlight of the season. God. The air conditioner going out and the
that during the middle of winter. Yeah,
true love always.
Yeah. That's a great storyteller, Jordan.
Well, and what I love is when they refer to each other as being these amazingly, you know, great people with such integrity, and I'm like, hello.
Oh my God, they're saying how selfless Carrie is. I'm like, oh yeah, she wanted to dump her husband while at the same time she was screwing him too. Like, yeah, she's really selfless. She wants her cake and eat it too. She wants to be, you know, have her ace and have Nasa mm-hmm. not be pissed at her at the same time. And
well,
Nicole
and, you know,
called her a saint too. It's like, she's not a saint. Don't give me that shit. You're nothing like Sammy. Bunch of crap. Sorry, I'm on a rant. Go
well,
ahead.
Well, I agree with you. Well, historically, you know, she had the whole situation with Mike Horton, you know.
Yeah.
And all that, you know, there's been a lot that, you know, was not perfect about Carrie, and so it is interesting. I guess again, it's perception, and but you know, you're right. She's always considered, you know, like I said, I guess in this instance, I kind of feel for Sammy, because poor Sammy definitely is and well deserved if she get bashed, because she has been involved in so many foolish things, but still, mm-hmm. but Carrie has too, so I agree, but we'll just have to see. When do we think that Tomlin and Whitesville and their stuff, is that going to air in July, do you think? Or
I think it's August.
I think it's August.
I know, and I think because they're getting ready, because they'll be off for two, I worry about this, that whole 2 week off deal. I think that's going to
Let me ask you guys something. Do you think they've been cutting scenes? Because we know there was that scene that was spoiled about the Dimera cane, you know, the phoenix
right.
on the cane. But, like, you know, it seems like Brady, for the most part, once they decided to get rid of Madison, it's like Brady's been MIA. We've hardly seen Kate and Ian at all. I'm just curious. It just seems like there's some gaps here. I don't know.
Maybe not.
I mean, maybe they can't afford to cut too much because they already had it made and all. But since they were so far in advance, I don't know. It just seems like it's either that or the minute the decision was made, they just stopped writing for them. You know, I don't know.
Well, I've got the sense, and I don't. And again, this is I have no inside information. This is just me, and again, just with bits and pieces of stuff right now too. I'm not even able to really stay real current with all the news. But to me, you know, it just seems like they filmed up until about February, and then, you know, and I mean, and then back then, even back in February, people were saying they were filming June, and I was just going, this, you know, as we all say, it's absurd for them to be filming that far in advance at any point. I mean, I understand
they
got
about 3 months,
but this is silly. And now, you know, I keep seeing things like, you know, like for example, like James Scott, who rarely takes a long vacation. And you think about, you know, we know that poor Matt Ashford and Missy Reeves both have been, you know, gone for about a month or 6 weeks or so where they weren't filming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Suzanne Rogers, you know, was, you know, tweeting, you know, concerned because she probably hadn't been back since Christmas time. And then I keep thinking, you know, I keep seeing all these things where James Scott was, you know, he was in Austria at that event, and that week long festival. Then I saw something today that I retweeted that, you know, he had been at some type of Mexico Cozumel golf tournament. And then I heard him on an interview program where he was talking about how he had gone to Burma. And, you know, and as far as I could tell, all this was, these were recent trips. So I'm thinking, you know, if he's made all of those trips, you know, this spring, I just think they stopped filming a lot of stuff back in February. And a lot of people, you know, and obviously some people have been in and out, but, I have the sense they did a lot of this stuff a while back, and then they knew that the transition was coming, and they just, you know, it's hard to tell, and again, without us really, you know, knowing somebody that is there that could tell us the actual situation. I wonder how much more there really was. And some of the stuff that's there is, you know, they said was going to be kind of choppy, and they took out the Ian thing with the Demira Phoenix symbol, and they I read something both ways about whether like the kiss with Nicole and Daniel had been inserted or if it was had originally planned, and who knows. And of course I love the EJ and Sammy scenes, and I'm anxious always to see them. But I was even a little bit skeptical. Even the one where he's over there doing the plumbing work and the water hits him and all that kind of stuff, and he takes his shirt off. I still think that was one of the most poorly written things. I think he and Allison Sweeney did a good job with it, but to me that really was still, it was really just, it was choppy. And then that was also the scene where Allison had the line about that, you know, this time last year I was pregnant with Rafe's baby, and I'm going, huh? You thought you had cancer. You know, she didn't even. So, I mean, it was just, again, this was the, and I don't mean to pick on this Nancy Williams Watt person who's one of the writers, but I think she was a breakdown writer, and they put her on script, and I read something on a board, I can't remember which one, but that somebody was saying that they really hoped that they kept Nancy Williams Watt, and I was just going, you've got to be from another planet. It was continuity issues, clearly, because there was stuff being said, and I've forgotten there was something that James Scott had to say in that scene that didn't make any sense either, based on what's been going on in the show. So I don't know. I'm looking forward. I'm hopeful for the new regime, and I appreciate what Mardar was trying to do, and who knows what obstacles they had to face. But at this point, based on what we're watching right now is primarily what they had filmed, regardless of the reason why, I'm glad there was a change, because this is not good, most of it, and especially anything to do with EJ's paternity. I guess it could make a good story. Tina Moore was on a show the other night, and I was talking to her, and she was saying, it does give him, more, of a crisis for him to ponder and that kind of thing. And and that is true. So I guess we'll just kind of see. But not seeing the show every day now, I think, has kind of given me a different perspective on it. So, when I do catch it, it's kind of, you just kind of wonder, well. But I'm happy to hear that James Reynolds is going to get to have some more airtime. It looks like maybe they'll give him another story, it is so sad with Renee Jones leaving. That he's going to go through some type of personal crisis, which I could certainly understand. I hate to see her leave. I know she's got plans for her life, and that's great. But she has done a fabulous job, and it's just heartbreaking, all of these scenes with Lexi. And, you just kind of hate to see that character die, but she's done a beautiful job with it. She really deserves some recognition. I don't even know what that recognition would be at this point, because I don't think the Emmys mean very much at this point, but she really has done a great job and has been a part of the show for so long. I hope that there's something that they do that's memorable for her. How long do you think, is she supposed to be on for another month or so, or just like in a couple of weeks?
June 20th is the last day. for her. So, yeah, so we should do something like Twitter bomb for Renee Jones, too. You know, run Lexi's last scenes. I think that'd be a nice thing to do. Even though she's not on Twitter or any of that, you know, maybe someone could let her know.
I guess she's been a part of that show for a long, long time, and I really think, these have just, and, you read whatever I have been able to read on Twitter recently, everyone seems to be saying the same thing, that the scenes are really good, they're heartbreaking, bring out your puffs,
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievably sad. I mean, I'm crying every episode that Lexi's on.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying goodbye. I mean, they're really writing her death extremely well. She's saying goodbye to everybody. She had a John Mulaney scene, a Bope scene. She used to be best friends with Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when Jennifer's not on, that's when Hope's best friend Lexi, she's like plan B. then she did have one final scene with Joe Muscala, and that was really sad. So it's like, why did they kill off Stefano before, and then Lexi's going to die a couple weeks later? I mean, I think it would have been better to kill off Stefano after Lexi died. You know what I mean? Give Joe Muscala a good, Emmy nomination.
What if Lexi killed Stefano?
Yeah.
What if Lexi killed Stefano? Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. So, and, I mean, there's spoiler pictures.
Because she's dying
anyway.
Yeah.
There's spoiler
pictures. They have to protect everybody.
Yeah, maybe she did it after she found out what he was doing to EJ. And a lot of people were saying they thought EJ and Lexi were too close. Her siblings during their scene, they thought they were a little too loverly.
I didn't get that at all. I thought their scenes were excellent. Any scene that James Scott is in, his emotions are just, he makes me cry all the time. And so does Renee and Joe. And now, if they weren't brother and sister, I think, they would make a great couple because she's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't get them playing that at all, I got it as a true brother and sister, where people are getting that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I
wish that they would be a couple. I don't know.
Well, both of them have said that. Yeah, they've interviewed, when they had Day of Days. I guess it was last year, Marianne, I think you were there. They were interviewed together, or maybe it was the year before.
Right.
But they did receive mail and feedback that people would have, had they not been brother and sister, would have thought that they would have made a good couple. So
good couple.
I think they've just been, they're good actors, and it's just been, like I said, that storyline, as sad as it is, has been good, and that's been it's just been emotional, and it's been good. And
scenes were like heartbreaking, especially the one with Stefano at the end when he was holding her picture and he just completely broke down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very well done by Joe.
Yeah. He's so talented, too. So, like I said, hopefully the Demira family will rise again.
More
Demira.
That's right. Well, I think in the Kyriakouses, too. At one point we kept hearing that maybe, I don't know if this was, tied to the whole thing about with Nadia was going to return as Chloe, but that, potentially J. Kenneth Johnson might come for just a few episodes or something. But, I miss Victor. I miss his sarcasticness. I miss, I know we're finally getting down to magic, exactly. Sarah can speak to it better, than I can. But I just think, they just have dropped it all, and it just, and that was such a good source of humor, and that whole, they just need to, there's a whole little list I think of reversal stories, Egg Baby being chief among them. That was absolutely stupid. In my opinion, only.
Gosh.
I know other people may have other opinions. That was just insane. Who even came up with that? But even the follow through on it, trying to figure out now, because they for months, we knew that Victor was, somehow involved in it, and it took.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they mentioned it, half the people probably forgot that he ever said it to begin with, because it was like
it was dropped for so long.
Mm-hmm. So I miss Victor, I miss Maggie, and like I said, I hope that they revive poor Brady, and not only have the Demiras really suffered, but the Kiriakis family has too, has really mm-hmm. wilted kind of on the vine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, we'll see. I hope so, because I just love John Aniston, I really do.
Yeah. Well, Tomlin was, I guess you'd say, he's partially responsible for Magic getting together mm-hmm. in the first place, so hopefully mm-hmm. he'll reunite them.
Yeah. Well, I know he's an advocate for Suzanne, because she was saying, you know, back when he came back before, he was saying, why aren't you on the show? Why don't you have a story?
Yeah.
So that's good. So I hope that does come to fruition. But and with Molly Burnett leaving, and again, I don't know what's happening now. I guess obviously Sean Christian, I guess, is staying on in whatever capacity he's going to be in. But I hope that they bring and show more Victor and Maggie and Brady and those guys, because that was actually fun and it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all have a sense, and especially Carrie, you hear all the scuttlebutt, but I mean, are they planning to by the Olympics tell who's going, you know, in one form or fashion? You know, we know a few people now, you know, that are definitely leaving, but, you know, I still have the sense that there's more to come, and I'm just wondering, when are they planning to announce that? Because they'd have to know by now, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe Anna can answer this. With Ian, isn't Ian completely done filming, and that's when they announced it, too? I mean, after he's, I mean, he's like, he's
yeah,
left the
he's gone. Yeah, he should be gone. I mean, he should be on air through August. So.
Yeah.
But they're finished filming. And the same thing with Sarah Brown. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read that Sarah Brown, and maybe, like, who all leaves on August 15th? Sarah Brown, mm-hmm. Matt Ashford. And I'm not sure what date Carrie and Austin, are they right before the Olympics?
I think Carrie and Austin are before the Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they're right before it. And then, but see, then again, we already know that, like, one or more of them are coming back. So I don't know, you know, there's obviously got to be some other changes as well. But then wasn't somebody saying that Missy Reeves' husband was going back? It seems like I've heard things that, you know, I'm not so sure how, I mean, I'm not sure how long she's going to be around. I mean, I don't know.
Her contract is up. Yeah, her contract is up. So a lot of people, So a lot of people are assuming she's not going to re-sign.
I think a lot would probably depend upon what Scott Reeves ends up with at General Hospital, because
right.
I don't know that
Eric
is really in a solid place right now. So, I don't know if they'd want to stay there and go back to Tennessee if he's not working too.
I'm hearing
what's that noise
all of a sudden?
Okay. Someone's like dropping their phone. Or juggling it, or so it sounds like.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like, you know, I like the new guy Cameron. I like Taylor Yancey. I like him. I like Abby together. They're kind of.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Molly Burnett's leaving. We know. Okay, so now
mm-hmm.
we know that Molly and at least temporarily Christy. Still hearing that sound. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
I'm sitting as perfectly still as I know how to.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Weird sound. Marianne, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear it?
Okay. I just muted Angela's. I think it might be Angela. Let me put Angela back on, see if it comes back.
Yeah, something's
okay. It's gone. Yeah, no. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's add it up. Okay, we know that Molly's leaving. I know Matt may come back, but Matt's leaving. Sarah Brown, Ian, Patrick, Christy. Who am I forgetting? That's seven people.
Renee.
Oh, yeah, Renee. That's eight people that we know of, right?
That are leaving.
My mouth right? That are leaving. And we know that only one of them for sure is coming back in a few months, and maybe one or two others, depending, you know. So, you know, of course, then they do these casting calls for these guys in their 20s or whatever, so I don't know. Like,
Safe Jack and Jen posted that Matt Ashford's last scene on Days is he's in an elevator and he dies in the elevator.
He dies in the elevator?
He dies?
Yes.
But yet they're asking him back. So they're killing him again and bringing him back?
That's what I'm saying. I just hope they don't do that. I mean, it's a third. And they never kill that character
anymore. I just wanted to add one thing. This is kind of important in a weird way. If you guys watch the episode of Friends that Jim Riley wrote, who was a former writer for Days and Passions, creator of Passions, he had the character, Joey's character, Drake Ramore on Days of Our Lives, died by falling down an elevator shaft. And this is after Joey brags, like in Silver Digest, that he wrote his own scenes. So Riley was spoofing himself because that's what Riley did. Anybody criticized his writing or anything, he would kill him off. Like he did that with Johnny Aston, he did that with Teo, he had problems with Matt Ashford too. I think he had Matt recasted. So it's kind of weird that Tomlin, who is a Riley crony, is allegedly killing off Jack Devereaux in an elevator, which is what happened on Friends with Joey Tribbiani's character on Days.
Hmm.
So that's just really weird and messed up. An elevator, really?
Well, do you think it's a fake out, though? Do you think it's a fake out, though, that he's really going to go undercover for a story or something, and that's the only way they could...
But they're going to do that again?
It makes no sense that they're going to actually kill him off. I had heard that Matt was happy with his story before he left too, so I don't know.
Well, he said something like he used to be the hero, but he didn't have his last scene. From what I heard, when he was in Atlanta, he didn't have the last few episodes. So, but it's just his last scene is in an elevator.
Let's hope that can be changed, or that there really is, some red herrings out there. Because I just can't imagine, after having killed that character off 5 times, have donated his organs one of those times, and they bring him back yet again. And then, if sadly, which would be such an injustice if they don't bring Matt back, I hope they do. But if they didn't, I still... they need to just send him back to London or send him somewhere, but not kill him again. That's just, that's just farcical, and it just it makes me mad that the show would do that again, because, again, it's just silly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but hopefully Matt's coming back, and maybe this is all either a red herring or they'll still have time to change things around, just like with the Stefano EJ thing, and I'm so ready for this whole thing to be over between the Anastasia egg and I guess whatever preceded it, the safe deposit box that we spent 3 months waiting to see if it would open, and the key and the plaque and that whole thing is just a fiasco.
Is the coin thing now done because Stefan is dead? It doesn't make any sense. The coin was
nobody ever talks about Hope and John's marriage thing now.
Yeah.
They never did get divorced. This is awful. I don't know. I do not know. I'm excited for Chris Weitzel and Tomlin and Lorraine Broderick. I think will be really good. It's just a disarray. But they... I want the show to last, like I know all of us do, and I don't mean to be sitting here and be so critical, but I just feel like if they don't, they don't have a lot of time. They've got that 2 weeks in August is going to be tough. If it's
you know, I'm obviously, I mean, at the most I'm seeing or listening to about one episode a week right now. And, you know, maybe I'm not quite up to date, but I'm close enough. And people are, I promise, I'm sitting completely still. I'm sorry. That's me. I don't know. Maybe my smartphone just, because I changed a different phone a couple weeks ago, so maybe it's just real sensitive. Maybe I should hold it further away. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yeah, we got you too, Marianne. I saw you got dropped.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's me making that rattling sound. I'm trying to sit as still as I can. I'm sorry. But anyway, I just feel like, you know, they don't have a lot of time, which I know we already know that, so I'm kind of stating the obvious. But I think, you know, 2 weeks out without anything is going to be tough under any circumstance. But if it's about at the level of excitement we're seeing right now, that's really going to be difficult for them to come back from.
Yeah, there's your phone again. Okay. I wanted to talk about one Sammy. And they're really sorry.
Yeah.
And they made up, but they did it at the Demira Mansion, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I mean, really, why would you have this conversation in Stefano's living room? And this is after.
And why would DJ ask for his keys back if everyone can get in anyway?
I mean, you don't need no damn keys to get into the Demira Mansion. You never did. That's just dumb. So, I mean, I'm glad they made up and everything. And, you know, I hope Sammy gets a new hairstyle soon and not that funky braid in the. I don't know why everybody in the show is wearing plaid. That's really pissing me off, too. Everybody's wearing plaid. It's just weird and makes no sense. But, Will and Sammy, they made up. And Will gets fired by EJ. And the whole thing is so queer about the whole, not queer literally, but, I mean, queer isn't weird. Everybody's mad that EJ fired Will. It's like, well, what the hell are you complaining about? You were just saying before you didn't want Will working with EJ. Now EJ fired him. Now you're pissed? That doesn't make any sense. Who gets mad that their son got fired from the mob? That doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. You know, I don't get that. I mean, everybody was so mad at him for working with EJ. Now it's over. It's like, well, damn that EJ, he fired him. Like, well, who cares? I mean, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe it's just me, though.
No, I think so. And then, you know, plus, you know, it's. I read this past week, and I thought it was a good point. We never got to see the sports car. We never got to see souped up, you know, penthouse that, you know, Will got to live in. We never got to see any of those things. And it's just kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't know. And then everybody's walking around with I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see the last 10 minutes of what happened with Stefano on Friday because my dish went out. But it was so bizarre. You just have all these people walking in, pissed off at Stefano, breaking into his house. They all pull guns on him and they leave. And he's just sitting there, you know, big Demira style. He's not afraid of anybody and kind of daring everybody to shoot him, and nobody does. And then they all come back to the house again, and apparently there's no security, and somehow or another, no one's running into each other, which is weird, because it looks like they're all in the house at the same time at the end. And it just, to me, even if everybody could frame Stefano, but I think a bit better in a party scene or a group scene. Everybody's yelling at him, and you see everybody has a gun, and then you see Stefano dead. To me, that made more sense than everybody coming to the house twice with guns, and then for some reason or other, they all touched Abe's gun that Abe left there. I mean, to me, and then for some reason or other, we saw the Demira Mansion Library for the first time in 30 years, and, you know, it seems weird they made a completely different set just for Stefano's death.
I enjoyed the rain though. The darkness, the dark rain, all that stuff. That was really cool. I have to admit, that set the ambiance. That really did it for me. I liked that. I have to say. It's
rain,
so expensive.
Yeah.
They can't do stuff like that very often. So it was really noticeable that when they did do it, that it was raining everywhere. It just really set the tone for me. So I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say.
Yeah, and it was raining my house at the same time, which was creepy.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy.
Yes, all my doors were locked, so I checked to be on the safe side. But, I just thought that was kind of funny. But I don't know. I do think it's too, everybody checking their guns in public. And Bo was had like 10 million guns on him, and he was checking them all over the place, and that was kind of funny. But, so we had that. Let's see what else happened this week before I forget. Nick, we already touched on the Gabby stuff, that her stalker is hot, and she hired a guy to be her stalker.
I was actually hoping it was going to be that guy who tried to kill Melanie, Troy. Was it Troy?
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of hoping it was Troy.
Didn't he die?
I don't know. Yeah.
I think he was the guy that was in the hospital for about a couple of weeks and then passed on, I think.
Oh.
I think that was him.
Oh, they're saying Troy is in a drug coma. That's what SJ was saying. He's in a coma.
Oh, okay. He's still
it could be Jan. Yeah, Jan Spears. She's still in her coma, too. So, who knows? We got about 9 minutes left. Is there anything else that we didn't touch upon? Anybody want to comment on anything? Nothing?
Nope.
I think we've
covered
everything.
Okay, well, we can wrap it up then.
All right.
Yep, Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, our interview with Blake Barris. So, get your questions ready and call in and ask Blake a question. And he's been not answering whether or not his return is short-term or not. So that'd be kind of interesting. Maybe we'll try to get that out of him or not. A lot of people think he's just there to get Melanie out of town.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, and just looking at his file, it looks like he's been doing a lot of movies. He's been doing some primetime work, too. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about with Blake.
Oh, speaking of primetime, it might be a nice thing to give a shout-out to Catherine Justin, who passed away from Desperate Housewives yesterday. She played the, I forget her name, I'm sorry.
McCluskey.
She passed away yesterday from lung cancer. Her battle was pretty public and everything, and she was suffering.
Oh, yes.
From
the
bit of
away.
Taping on the show. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what?
Her character died on the finale.
Her character died in the finale, too, yeah.
So she passed away yesterday. So anyway, just thought I'd mention that, too. So it's a sort of a soapy show.
That's a good point. She had an interesting life because she was a psychiatric nurse, and she didn't start acting until she was 42.
Wow. That's impressive. Wow. Yeah, she won 2 Emmys for her role as Mrs. McCluskey, and she was also on The Bold and the Beautiful. They had a lung cancer storyline, I think, with Stephanie Forrester. Because Susan Flannery keeps hinting around she's going to retire, and she never does, and ended up keeping her on, so I guess they were planning on maybe killing off Stephanie with lung cancer. But so she did a guest spot, I think, last year when her cancer came back for the second time, so this was actually the third time her cancer came back and killed her. But that's just so sad. Here she is, active, Mrs. McCluskey dying, while she was suffering. I mean, how hard was that? But, so I did retweet a lot of the stuff about Catherine, but everybody's commenting now on her death. So, So that's out there. Okay. Well, let's see what goes down this week. This last week was a dark week, so hopefully we'll get some tweets. And I don't know. This show is just so messed up. I don't know what else to say. It's just a mess. And it's just sad that, you know, we have to watch this mess and then wonder if 2 months from now it's all going to be fixed again. Because, I mean, I'm having a hard time watching. I'm sure you guys are, too. It's just hard to watch.
Well, it depends. It depends on the day. It depends on the episode. Some days I can't even focus through the whole episode. And I find myself rewinding because I miss it because people talking about nothing on Twitter is more interesting. And then some days or some episodes or some scenes, it's just like you rewind it because it's so good you want to see it again. So. I don't know.
I did want to
make a comment earlier of a line that Marlene had said that I personally, as a Kate fan, was offended by, but it's just me. I don't know. But she tells Will, she's like, why don't you come in, you know, and tell your favorite grandma? I won't, you know, don't tell Kate that I'm your favorite. Oh, well, go ahead and tell her. I don't want to smack her. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Kate was around during Will's formative years, and it just pissed me off, but that's okay. So I just had to throw that out because I meant to mention that earlier and I forgot. So. Oh, well, that's just me being a Kate fan. Got to step up for Kate.
Yeah.
No.
Grandmas are like that, though. They have to be number one.
Uh-huh. Well, it's kind of funny because she doesn't even want Will calling her a grandma, and then she says that she's his favorite. She's her favorite grandma. So I was like, okay, can have it both ways, Marlene. Oh, all right. Okay, that was my last word. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's good. Nope, I missed that, so I'm glad you mentioned it. Okay, well, we'll see everybody on Tuesday.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Bye. Bye.